Tyla and Douglas Gabriel here. Easter 2020. Wow, is this the most amazing thing that has happened? The whole world is in what we are calling an initiation.
I think it's absolutely true, and that Trump himself has already gone through attempted initiations with impeachment, trying to knock him out. As an initiation does, it tries to put you into a death sleep for 3 days, and you're supposed to review your life. You're supposed to think about things. Well, he's already had that. Everything's been reviewed in front of everyone, but the rest of the world's going through it now, and it is not apocalypse. It is the time of humanity going through a huge initiation. This initiation was talked about by the spiritual scientists of the past, who say that we are crossing the threshold as humanity, as a group. And so when that happens, there are certain earmarks that you can count on. They're not dissimilar to what Christ went through after his Good Friday crucifixion and his descent into Sheol, not hell. There really is very little what you'd call dogma or a doctrine that can explain hell, but there, in those days, they considered it Sheol or the bosom of Abraham. So it's little understood that after Jesus of Nazareth, who became Jesus Christ, had his blood shed there on the hill of Golgotha, the hill of the skull, what we call the mystery of Golgotha. And what we're talking about here is the redemption of the earth and the turning point of time. So human beings at that point had the capacity from that point on to absorb what it was that Christ brought, which is your higher self. So we all know we have a lower self, and it answers to the material world, and it answers to everything that is sense-bound, not those things which are heavenly-bound or virtue-bound. It's vice-bound, as it were. There's a phrase that says, we are born into our father, the devil. This is the realm of duality. It's the realm of death. It's the realm of evil. And in this realm, it's rather terrifying to think that if you have not grappled with the challenges that this realm has given you, then how could you have developed the capacities to exist in a world that doesn't have any touch point, that doesn't have stones and trees and animals and humans, but is in fact sense-free? And that's what Christ went into. He went into the realm of the sense-free. And the people there, who had already died in many incarnations, were there awaiting basically the good news, the gospel, the good news, the eternal gospel, which is that all of us are eternal, that in our hearts we each have an I am. And that I am, call it what you want, your higher self, you can either serve that or you can serve your lower self, and that's okay. We have multiple selves. And Christ went to tell those people who had already died and were in that shoal in the bosom of Abraham, who are in this, what we might call in Catholicism, a bit of a limbo, that the good news had come, that we now, humanity, have the capacity to accept the risen blood of Christ. You see, there's the mystery of the blood of Christ, which we've talked about in our books and in many articles, but really it's the risen blood of Christ, which is the mystery of our time. It isn't that the earth has been redeemed. It's that the earth right now, the etheric part that keeps the earth alive, needs to be redeemed. And that is also the realm of memory. And it's the realm of this realm where the dead go. Now, we'll talk about the fact that each of us enter that realm when we die. And for 3 days, we go through a review of our life as we're in that living realm, the realm of the etheric that gave us our life, gave our body our life. After we die, just like humanity now is going through a conscious death because they're crossing the threshold. Well, after you die, you cross the threshold between the physical and the non-physical, the seen and the unseen, the physical world and the spiritual world is what we call it. And once you start to face that threshold, certain things happen. But if you're pulled across, generally in the past, people wanted to cross that threshold, so they went through a process of initiation. And there are steps that you go through, renunciation, where you have to say to the world, I reject what it is that you have to offer. Purification, so that you can then make sure that what you have is a very moral character that can be carried across the threshold. Because it doesn't matter that you cross the threshold consciously or unconsciously. It's going to happen right now. What matters is that if you are conscious and you're moral, you can bring back gifts from the spirit. And that's what it's all about.
Seekers out there know this process of initiation because they can look at their lives and see these various touch points where they have had these initiation experiences, and they see the progress they're making, evolving themselves into higher human beings. Well, this has always been going on. Some of us have been through this process. Some are going through it. But we're at a point now where it's time for all of humanity to go through it. And you take across that threshold that which you bring from this previous life. And some people have not done anything at all to prepare themselves for the shift.
And that's why when they're now in a rather sensory deprivation condition, lockdown in America and some of our states, now there's a $1,000 fine in our state if you go visit a friend or a relative. This is a lockdown, and it's making you face yourself. Well, that's the first stage of initiation, is you enter into a cave, or you enter into a place that's dark inside, and that you must come to grips with your fear. And we'll talk about that in a second. But humanity as a whole is being pulled across the threshold now because of, not because of the fear even of coronavirus, not because of the fear of economic collapse, but because of a fear that cannot actually be defined. And though that is because behind these evil beings, these archons that are, some call them, these evil beings who are in the outside world, these beings actually enter into individuals. And they, like a George Soros, George Soros is completely at the will and the whim of the beings who wish to destroy humanity. Same thing would be true with many people who are in the elite, who are eugenists, like Bill Gates. He and his father wish to kill billions of people. That is what they want to do with their money. And many of these rich people are this way. So when you enter into the physical world of our father, the devil, the father of lies, the one who was cast from heaven down here, we, as those beings who also came from heaven down here, we have to understand that when we have sense-free thinking, we can develop super-sensible organs that can actually see the beings that create this world. And that sounds absolutely fantastic, but whether we like it or not, we are now seeing it. The diaphanous threshold between the spiritual and the physical is now broken. You can enter it now, whether you like it or not, being pulled across or stepping across. And if you step across, that's the path of the hero. That's the path of Hercules and Mercury and Orpheus and Aeneas and all of the great classical heroes, Gilgamesh and Inanna and Eurydice and Persephone.
But their journeys always prepared themselves for stepping across the threshold.
Oh, with the Greek mysteries, you prepared for a year, sometimes two, mm-hmm. As an apprentice, and basically being taught to prepare yourself for the mysteries. And when the mysteries came, there were no words. They showed you something in a certain dramatic kind of presentation, and this affected your soul for the rest of your life. Well, that's what is happening now. We are being shown the inner mysteries, and the inner mysteries are scary. In the Gospel of Sophia, Tyler and I both write about our experience of meeting Pele, the goddess of the volcano, and particularly on the Big Island of Hawaii, entering into the tubes and the lava tubes and entering into these experiences of seeing actually magma flowing and so on and so forth. The goddess Pele manifested as a triple goddess. Well, that's what you see when you enter into the cave, eventually, is the triple goddess. Who is that? That's your thinking, feeling, and willing. And if you have bad thinking, feeling, and willing, like right now. If you're locked up in your house and you've had nothing but bad thinking, feeling, and willing, you are being
tortured,
hounded by that three-headed hound of hell, Cerberus, who is there to bite you in three ways, because that's you. That is what's called the three ugly visages of yourself. Everything that you did in thinking, feeling, and willing that was unconscious becomes your triple-double. It's your doppelganger. It's this triple-headed beast. And you're going to confront that the second you get near the threshold if you're doing it consciously. Now, we're being pulled across. So whether we like it or not, we're facing the junkyard dog from hell, and it knows us so well that it could find our scent anywhere, and it is coming for us. And that's what's happening to all of us right now if we have not been distracted by our entertainment, our sports, drugs, pornography, food, and all the other vices that make us enjoy this world.
I want to give you an example. When you go to the grocery store now, you see people expressing themselves in ways that are quite bizarre. But what you're really seeing is the thinking, feeling, and willing that is not resolved being shown to you in a public way. This is what I see.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Let's take, for example, Orpheus and Eurydice. You know, just like Persephone being taken into the underworld, and then Mercury or Hermes in some of the versions goes down and tries to get Persephone back. And then there's all this stuff that happens. Well, let's just take Orpheus. Orpheus is told after Eurydice is bitten by a poisonous snake and is taken to the underworld, oh, please don't take her, because Orpheus had all the power that any human could have. Orpheus could play his lyre and even the stones would weep. In the end, even the witches would come and gather at his feet. All the evil beings were even able to be completely hypnotized by the beautiful music of Orpheus. Well, he loved Eurydice, lost Eurydice, went to hell, and then was told what? Well, you can bring her back. But on the way back, if you turn around and look at her, that's it, it's over. You don't get her back. These bizarre, what is that? That's sense-free thinking. Orpheus, this highly evolved being, could not stand not looking back to see if Eurydice was following him. Well, what is that? That's our longing for the physical world. So when we die, when we go to the underworld, let's, in terms of this classical analogies that we're using right now, when you go to the underworld, you have certain restrictions that are put upon you. Well, even Orpheus had this one and couldn't stand it and had to turn back and look, and what happened? Eurydice then was pulled back into the underworld. Well, what is also told? You can't eat anything while you're there. Like Persephone, the story goes that sometimes she ate some pomegranate seeds and other things, but it keeps her there. Sometimes they will say, you know, 6 months out of the year, 6 months above the ground, 6 months below the ground. So there's all of these restrictions in every one of these cases. And of course, one of the most beautiful is the original one. And people don't understand that the original came from the goddess whose name was Psyche. And she actually went through all of those things and went to hell. She went to Persephone and had to gather up the dark beauty of Persephone, put it in a cask, and bring it back to Venus, who was very upset because of what had happened in the love relationship between her son, Cupid, Eros, and Psyche. And so you have it that it's the woman who went down to hell first. And she came back and she was eventually raised into the stars. Well, that's also in Sumeria. That would be Inanna, Dumuzi, and the rest of them, these females who went down into hell. Well, when you get to the modern age, and Goethe talks about it, he says there's these three mothers. And the three mothers are what? The three past ages of our time that built up our thinking, feeling, and willing. And they're these fierce, ferocious mothers who hold the knowledge of our unconscious past. Well, what is that? That's your doppelganger. That's all of your unconscious deeds coming to get you. That's what you face at the threshold, and that is what everyone is facing right now. That's what humanity is facing.
So if you're in lockdown in your home or you're self-quarantining, these are the entities, the beasts, the energies that you're having to confront.
Yes, and you have to face the questions of death. The Tibetans say you should 10 times a day think about the fact that you are impermanent, that you will die, and that everything you know and everyone you know will never be remembered, won't be remembered in 100 years. Well, that isn't always true, but that's the point.
Can you explain, before you go on, why is humanity going through this experience now? Why now?
Well, that's why we went to Alaska, because we're crossing the galactic midpoint. So every 25,920 years, we go through what's called the body of the goddess, or the Platonic year. Plato called it the body of the goddess. And it's a period of precession of the equinoxes that determines whether or not the ancients could see our place in the amongst the stars, as it were. And if you can understand the precession of the equinoxes, and you know that it processes backwards at the vernal equinox until it comes back to that same point, 25,920 years, then you pretty much understand some of the cycles that you can observe from the Earth. And so this was the body of the goddess. Remember also that they believed at the same time that they literally sucked on the teats of the great goddess from the Milky Way. The Milky Way are the teats of the goddess. Don't forget that. Don't forget that the Pala of Mary is the Milky Way. So the wisdom that we find in the outer world is not all evil, but you need to understand it on a bigger scale. You need to understand it cosmologically. And so when you understand that Christ, who Christ was and what that mystery of Golgotha was all about and why he had to descend into the nine layers of the earth, there are nine layers. Each of these layers is a reflection of the hierarchical beings that are the nine beings, nine layers of the hierarchy above us. So when you stand on the earth, you can either reach up to your spiritual self, your higher self, or you can reach down to your lower self. And the lower self can go right into the core of the earth, nine layers down, or your self, your higher self, and your I Am that is in your heart, which was announced by the mystery of Golgotha and Christ's his birth, his death, his descent into Sheol, and then his resurrection. And people forget that. His resurrection is what it's all about, because it's showing that all of us resurrect after we die, and we're all eternal beings as long as we claim that. Now, there may be some who takes them a long, long time. It won't be this cycle. Won't even be the next cycle. But everybody in the big cycle comes along, and if you're given an I Am, then it's your job to cultivate that. And either you develop the virtues and the higher self, or you develop the vices and the lower self. So if you want to go down into the layers of the earth, you're making a pact with the devil. And that's what George Soros has done. That's why he looks that way. That's what happened to the Rockefellers. Take a look at them. Take a look at the Rothschilds. Take a look at the monarchies. Take a look at the present Pope. These are people who've given their soul over to the forces of the earth and below the earth. And they don't even know they've done this. And they don't know that the nine layers below, those are fallen angels, fallen archangels, fallen archai, and six layers below, all the way to the cherubim and the seraphim and the thrones. But when you get to the core of the earth, it is the opposite of what scientists would try to make us believe. And now they will say, oh, it's liquid nickel and it's spinning. Oh, no, it's this, it's that. No, it is a white hole, just like the sun. It is a white hole. The sun is a white hole, not a black hole. And these things are so little understood that the great spiritual scientist told us that when you're even at age 56 and beyond, or at the cosmic midnight in between your death and returning back to Earth, and you're standing on the rings of Saturn and you're looking out at the stars, you can't understand any of it, not with the human ability of conception or cognitive ability. You cannot understand even our solar system, let alone the stars.
But again, why now? The Easter 2020, this is so profound. Who would have thought that almost the entire planet was on lockdown because of this thing that is happening?
Okay.
And the other thing, well, as soon as this happened, I went, oh my goodness, this is going to be Holy Week, and it's going to be holy hell to churches everywhere. It's almost like it was planned. These churches bring in a lot of revenue on Easter week. This is going to be so destructive. It's almost like the evil forces are doing everything they can to wipe Christianity off the planet. Why? Why now?
Because it's the last-ditch attempt of evil to try to completely capture the soul and spirit of humanity. And we see this with Trump. He's giving the soul and spirit of America back to us because of basically ending globalism, which was taking away our freedom. When you have an I am, when you have a developed personality, an ego, or really there's multiple selves. There's multiple selves in you. I refer to the lower self and the higher self, but there's the self in the middle, and then there's selves beyond that. We won't talk about that.
Well, a way to look at it is that we have different avatars in our work. We're Odin and Frigg in one space, we're Tyler and Douglas in another, and Betsy and Thomas someplace else.
Yes, and a George Soros thinks he's a god in this realm.
Okay.
And George Soros thinks, because he's aligned with fallen angels and archangels, and time spirit, he is still aligned probably with the previous time spirit, and they're laggard beings, they're called. They stay back, and instead of advancing and moving forward and taking everyone with them and working with the whole nine hierarchy, all nine of them, as well as the Trinity above that, when you work with all of that, those forces are magnificent, but if you enter into the core of the earth through these different layers, which can be described in great detail, you actually think you have become a god, an earth god. And that's a huge danger, because we don't need to be earth gods. We can be sun gods eventually, and we can use the planets as stepping stones, but to be caught in the earth, what happens then is the following. When you die, you generally go through a period of 3 days of looking, of everything moving backwards, kind of like when you sleep at night, called rapid eye movement. You repeat everything that you see in the day, your eyes, do a reverse movement of it backwards. This is all proven. It's called...
Rückschau.
Well, it's called Rückschau too by Steiner, and that's what you should do if you're spiritual. You should do your own Rückschau before you go to sleep. But when you go to sleep, even if you don't do a backwards review of the day from the other person's point of view, everyone that you contacted.
That's what Rückschau is, because not everybody's going to know, and they don't have a way to ask us, so explain that.
When you go, before you go to sleep, the most important thing you can do is what happens to you when you go to sleep anyway. Your eyes, in the first stage, rapid eye movement, goes backwards, looking at everything you looked at in the day. You actually review it. Now, generally, if you cross the threshold from this world into sleep, and if you didn't do it with proper prayer and meditation and the Rückschau ahead of time, then you really don't get the benefit of it. But the good benefit would be, if you could be smart enough to do it ahead of time, review your day backwards and see what effect you had on people. Not what you got out of it, but what did other people get out of what you gave them? What effect did you have upon them? What effect did your thoughts have upon the world? Did your thoughts actually in the daytime reach up into realms even higher than the human spirit? That's very possible for developed initiates. So the question is, when you go to sleep, did you do that ahead of time? Because if you did, then when you're asleep, you can actually commune with higher beings. Now, if you're an evil person, like a George Soros, then when you go to sleep, you're just simply tortured. But you may or may not even know it. You may have to be on drugs and all kinds of strange things for these evil elite. They have to do to appease the very beings who are below the earth surface that are calling their soul, telling them that they are to be the new Julius Caesar, the new leader, the new, you know, like a Hillary Clinton. She wants to be the leader of the Western world, but wants to be as strong as the Queen and as powerful as the United Nations. It's real simple. These are megalomaniacs. They can't stop until they destroy themselves and everything around them. That's what happens when you go down into the earth without consciousness. Christ went all the way to the earth core. And there, because his blood entered into the earth through an earthquake, there were actually multiple earthquakes at that time, but his blood went into the earth, and that blood then turned the earth into a star, because the earth is a white hole, just like our sun, a star, is a white hole. So when human beings do really great things with their thinking, feeling, and willing, and that's called with thinking, if you have higher thinking, Steiner calls it imagination. One could call it higher thinking. When you have higher feeling, you could call that virtue also, but Steiner would call that inspiration. And when you have higher willing, instead of that lower thinking, feeling, and willing we were talking about below, the nasty, nasty doppelganger. No. When you have higher willing, you have intuition. In other words, whatever it is that moves through you as love is correct and right and has the power of the hierarchy working through you. So you can either go down into the fallen hierarchy, into the core of the earth, or you can rise up now. Initiation will start entering into the core of the earth. Why? Because if you in the past hadn't dealt with your unresolved nature, your unresolved thinking, feeling, and willing, and all the bad things that that might have created in terms of bad karma, well, then you weren't going to get initiated because you needed to do oblations and purifications and offerings and morality training and sutra training and mantra training and all this different training. Then when the time came and you had been prepared and the people who had been initiated, who are now initiates, looked at you and said, yeah, you're ready. Then they would put you through the most frightening thing you'd ever been through in your life. They would scare you in every way possible. They would challenge you. They would shake you. You would go through what you thought were earthquakes, thunder and lightning striking you, drowning, animals coming after you, everything you could possibly imagine horrible you would have to go through. Well, isn't that what we're going through right now? We see that now everywhere. I don't know that it could be much more fearful, and I don't know that it could affect more people. So you go into the cave and you might go through water, you might go through a rushing river, you might go through a room with weird sounds, you might go through a room with bats flying around. Anything was possible in these initiations. Well, that's what's going on right now for everyone in America. They're going through their own personal initiation.
It's not just America, and that's the point. It's in New Zealand, in Australia, in Europe.
So true, the whole globe. It's never happened ever in this way before, as far as I can tell, except a couple references to what happened in 3000 BC or so. But anyway...
Oh, you can't move on without saying what that was.
That basically consciousness can be pruned, it can be cut back, it can be diminished. There are references by spiritual scientists who say that in 3100 BC, most of humanity in the known world just fell over. They were overwhelmed by something that could be considered a flood of consciousness. And after a few weeks, only a few people got up. And they were the strongest of all, and they survived. Well, that is going to happen here. There will be many people in an initiation who won't make it. They can't make it past the first stages of fear. There were some who can't make it past purification, some who can't renunciation. They can't make it. They can't make, in some of these initiations, you had to give up meat and eating beans and drinking alcohol and sex and anything. In some of them, believe it or not, well, I won't go there. They had to do really crazy things that they had to give up. And so if you're not willing to give up those things in the physical world, then you're not going to make it through these fears that you have to face. And then when you do, then on the other side, you are can become initiated. And what do they always show you? They show you the three mothers. They show you your triple self, your thinking, feeling, and willing. And if you cannot unite them together in your heart, then you cannot be an initiate. And you'll always be caught up by the fear, by the doubt in your thinking, by the hatred in your feeling, and by basically being paralyzed in your willpower or being caught...
Or anger.
And anger, caught up in
yes.
sex, drugs,
yes.
anger,
yes.
violence, all these willful things that can take your entire incarnation, one entire lifetime
because
to work out.
It's a natural process that when you cross the threshold, thinking, feeling, and willing separate. And it's how then you are able to integrate them back together again in a higher way with imagination, inspiration, and intuition. And that's where we then progress in our human evolution.
Precisely. And that's the key factor. Can you hold yourself together knowing that your thoughts lead you one direction, your feelings lead you another, and your willpower, your addictions, your habits lead you another? I mean, think of it. Who is free of their habits? That is what had to be broken before you could enter into the process of becoming an apprentice or a chela or the beginning stages of initiation. You had to give up all those things. You had to tame your feeling so that no matter what happened in the outer world, you would not become distressed. You would not hate. You would not be fearful. And you had to control your thinking to the point that you had something to think about when you were in the sense-free realm. Because when you're in the darkness, here's the deal. You will always imagine you see things coming out of the darkness that wherever there's any light. But when you're in the absolute darkness, then you know that the only light you have is yourself. And so we all start off in the cave, in the material world. That's the cave, of course, birth. And then we can ascend until we enter into what's called your spiritual hut across the river into the spiritual world, that threshold we're talking about, which is, of course, the river Styx, because this is the threshold between life and death. But some people are terrified of death, not understanding that if you are an eternal being, there is no such thing as death. That's silly. As a matter of fact, as soon as you are an angel, you realize there's no space. When you realize you're an archangel, you realize there's no time. And when you realize that you're an archai, a being who is beyond time, then you realize that you're beyond our solar system too, and that you are a perfect example of what the universe is.
So humanity is at this point where we, like Christ, are buried during this holy weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Now let's take the Masons as an example of that. In the Masons, when you want to become an entered apprentice, you have to go through all this training, and you have to go through all this morality training and all this word training, like for in the Indian teachings, it's mantra training, and using special tools. So it's really the same thing as you'd find in the deepest and oldest of the Hindu traditions, which are best described by Tibetan Buddhism. But in Masonry, you only become a master mason after you spend 3 days in a tomb, or at least that's what you are doing a mimic of. You are doing a staged condition of resurrection and ascension, and first comes being basically tortured and killed. And tortured by who? The three apprentices who take your three most important tools, thinking, feeling, and willing. And the three apprentices, who are those? That's your bad thinking, feeling, and willing. And in the end, you use those tools and you conquer this thing called, it's a boiling cauldron of metal. And when you conquer that with these three tools of thinking, feeling, and willing, then you ascend and you rise up from this coffin, this tomb where you've been buried, and you ascend and you are then immortal. Well, that's what we're all doing. That's the story that every mystery initiation center taught. That's what the Egyptians taught in even the Great Pyramid. That's what you're taught in, I could go on and on. It's about the fact that after you die, you continue to live, but you live in a different condition altogether. So this transcendental experience that we're looking for here is exactly what humanity is going through. And humanity right now, I've never seen this before, is being told you are locked up in your house, in your coffin. And if you haven't lined your coffin real nice, then you're not real happy. And if you don't know how to sit still for, in this case, 40 days, and the reason it's 40 days is because there's, you know, 40 days in the desert, 40 days that Christ walked with his disciples after his death. There's 40 days of with Noah in the ark. There's 40 days of everything.
Well, 40 days to me is a cycle of completion.
That's exactly what it is. And this cycle of completion is what we are all going through. Now, some of us may not have to go through that. Some may have to go through a longer period, but it's basically the same. And they're telling everyone, essentially, that you need to go and live by yourself, with yourself, on your own, completely self-independent, and don't associate with people, and don't be worried about a thing. Just go ahead. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about your mortgage. Don't worry about a thing.
I say you might imagine that you have prepared your ark, and these 40 days and 40 nights, this is your experience of being on the ark, and you're moving from one place of consciousness to another. Right now, you're on the waters. You're not sure where you're going. All you have is your faith and your trust, but you prepared. So what we're saying is if more of us can come together in this space and step forward in our evolution, we will bring the rest of humanity with us.
Absolutely. And if we take kind of a mixture of the different Noah stories, the Manu, the Hindu Noah, and if we take what we know of Noah.
You're going to work Scythianus in here, aren't you?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. What you see there is what did they have on the, let's say, what we know about both of them. Well, they had seeds. They had a male and female of all the animals so that they could all reproduce. In other words, the seeds are your etheric body. The animals are your astral body. But the physical body was the measurement of the ark had to be exact and made an exact way with the windows exactly shuttered right and everything exactly right. Why? Because that's the measurement of the human body. That is the human temple. So the ark is the physical. The seed is the etheric. The animals are the astral. And the head of Adam, also the Zohar stones, are what gave them light and warmth and nourishment and fed all the animals. So it feeds your astral body, and it kept all of the seeds warm and taken care of, and it also kept the ark warm and afloat and gave them light and oxygen, nourishment,
okay,
everything.
We got that. Everything was taken care of in the ark.
It's the Holy Grail. Now, with the Manu, well, you have Manu, who is the I. Oh, by the way, the Zohar stone, the Adam, the head of Adam, that's the I Am. That's the Holy Grail. Well, Manu was really like the Holy Grail. Manu is just like Noah, but he took with him the teachings, and those teachings are, we would call them perhaps the Vedas, the Puranas, the Upanishads, those such things. So these books of wisdom. And he took the holy rishis, and he took all the culture of his time, and he those are basically the physical, etheric, astral, and ego again. But he had the advantage that he was told ahead of time to get a rope, and I won't go into the whole details of this, but that rope he tied around a horn of a great whale, a unicorn whale, which pulled him to the highest point. Now, the highest point would be Mount Everest. And they will tell you that Manu, the founder of the ancient Hindu culture, came down from the Mount Everest to the west and found the Ganges River there, the Mother River. That is incorrect. The descent of Manu, is down the eastern slope of the Himalayas, down to the Tarim River, and to basically what was in the ancient time, known now as the Lop Nor Lake, but in ancient times was a very beautiful paradisical land.
Well, let's not forget that the topic today is about Easter.
Well, the point is that when you get taken to the top, okay, first off, you go into your coffin, your cave, your ark. If you have everything that you need there, in other words, if you fed your etheric body and you have all that you need, and we've taught you how to do that, the Ascension Diet, and if you've trained your astral body because of all we've given you across the bridge with the glass bead game and so on and so forth, and bringing to you all the wisdom of spiritual science that we can find for you, and if you are prepared for the time, and if you're calm, and if your I Am is connected to the spiritual world, and that's what the references of the Zohar, the wisdom teachings, the head of Adam. If you have all of those things, then you can weather it no problem at all. But once you stop, don't think it's over. because it ain't over.
What do you mean? Once
Manu's ship came to solid ground, it wasn't over.
Oh, yes.
And when Noah came to solid ground, supposedly on Mount Ararat, it wasn't
because
over.
Because the waters have to recede and a lot of things have to happen before the new growth starts.
Absolutely. So do not expect, after what we're all going through right now, that it's all going to be easy to begin with. It took a while in all of those stories for the land to come back. But it's okay. Because if you have a cosmology that places you in the big picture and you say, why now? It's not just because we crossed the galactic center. It's not just because Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto were all crossing each other and still crossing each other right now in the sky. It's not just because of that. It's not because it's the last-ditch attempt to take down Trump. It's not because depression was their last ace in the hole. It was the card up the sleeve, and they played that card, and it's failed because it ricocheted on the people who played the card. So it caused humanity to go through a preliminary experience of the war of all against all and what is described in the book of Revelations, because that's what happens at the end of time in whatever age you're in. So the archetypes that are given are true. So we could go through all the archetypes of the book of Revelation, and they seem to be happening right now. So though it is a horrible time, if you have to, like Sakyamuni Buddha, who was a prince, give up everything, including his wife and his child, and go into the forest and eat nothing and just meditate until wisdom comes, if you had to do that and that type of renunciation, then this time right now would seem like nothing. For a person who's gone through a certain Catholic training called Manresa, 30 days of silence, that's just a warm-up. There are people who do 40 days of bread and water as a regular thing once a year. So as we go through these type of fasting situations...
This is a great time to do a liver flush.
It is a fantastic time to work on yourself, your own garden in yourself, your own garden around you, the garden of your family, and to basically... remember that we are gardeners, and when it comes down to it, the most essential people in America are those who are outgrowing food, period. And so we are all gardeners, and we're gardeners in one thing or another. And if we understand our position in that, then we have a purpose to our life, and we can withstand 90 days of confinement. We can stand basically being put into solitary confinement or not speaking for 3 months, or eating so little bread and water only. There have been many, many cultures who only eat two or three items. Many people in the past have lived on bread and water, and some people only potatoes and water. So what are we talking about here? What did Christ have to go through before he went into the underworld? He went through the stages of the cross. He went through the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. He went through the worst torture that anyone could possibly withstand. Because why? He had his eye on the future of what he was accomplishing. And as we celebrate, really, Holy Saturday, and we all are replicating a bit of the hell realm in our own personal lives if we haven't resolved them, and if we haven't, we are still going underground. And if we do not follow the rules, if we do not do these things that we've mentioned in preparation, or at least now created for yourself at this moment, then it's going to be terrifying, and it's going to seem like hell, and a three-headed dog is going to come after you, and your own doppelganger will chase you, just like we see all these stars, their doppelgangers are chasing them, and they go on the air, and they share it with us, and it's who they are.
You're talking about the celebrities.
Yes.
And it's kind of interesting to watch, because you see that, who they really are, really showing now.
And that's who they are. And anyone who's been really, really mean, then they show us that side of themselves. And we always get to see this after someone... dies, if we could look to see what happens to them after the moment of death, because you get exactly what you pay for. So if you are paying the devil, well, then after death, you get the devil. And if you're working with angels, then they will reward you afterwards. Because what we're talking about is in this darkest hour, whether it's the 3 days of the blinking out of the sun, is the analogy of the secret letters of
Fatima. Isn't that what has happened, metaphorically speaking? Because the lights of the churches have all gone out for these 3 days, these three most holy days for Christians.
Yes, absolutely. And one could say that the axis of the earth has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Psychologically, the axis, and economically, the axis of the earth has had a perturbation. It has slowed down, stopped, and we're all bated breath waiting for the axis and the rotation of the planet to go forward, in essence. So when we look at the psychic effect of this, when we look at the physical effect of this, there are so many ramifications that they really can't be put into any words until probably a year or two after we see what the ramifications of this are going to be. But one thing is for sure, they are not taking down Trump with this attempted depression, because they just got through finding out that he's taking over the U.S. Fed and he can control recessions, depressions, inflation, and whatever the president wants to do through the U.S. Treasury can be done because we control the currency of the world. So don't be fearful, but with your jobs and all of these things, this is the question. This is a warm-up. I'm sorry to have to tell everybody this. This is a warm-up. If we do not completely put the CDC out of America, remove British control of big pharmaceutical companies in America, if we do not stop the National Institute of Health and vaccinations and the entire myth of vaccinations, this will simply happen again next year. But since we're seeing all of these things revealed, we are seeing a moment when, in fact, the light of Christ has come to the darkness of Sheol, and those awaiting, just as the wedding maidens are told to trim their wicks as they await the bride and the groom so that they will be ready. That's what we were supposed to have been doing all along, is we are supposed to stay awake. We're supposed to trim our wicks so we don't waste our oil. And when the bride and groom arrive unexpectedly, then we can join the wedding party, because if we can't bring our lamp, we don't get to go. And that's the light we were talking about that happens in our spiritual hut across the river. So though it may seem like we're in a cave now, keep your eyes focused, just as we've given you the idea of using a sacred candle, the image of a sacred flame that can then light thousands, if not millions, of other flames from that one flame without diminishing itself. The same thing is true when you enter into your spiritual temple. Your light, together with others, will illuminate the wisdom of the spiritual world, and we can leave behind the evil of this world, knowing that it has absolutely no wealth to us. No, it is not a riches. Gold, silver, diamonds, and rubies mean nothing. What truly matters is what you take in your heart across the threshold.